Proverbs 13:19 says, "The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil." God hates evil, but some of you more careful students of the Bible know the confusion that some find when they see that the Bible says that God creates evil. In Isaiah 45:7, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." But some of our faithful listeners will also recall that we've discussed this and pointed out that evil is a descriptive word, and when God creates evil and sends evil upon an individual or even a nation, it is in punishment for sin. So technically, evil is not always sin, but is a result of man's choice to commit sin. When God creates evil, it is the righteous and justified response to man's sin. When man creates evil, it is the unjustified, harmful result of his own sin. And that's why our text says, "It is abomination to fools to depart from evil." Why? Because they love their sin. Even though the evil that results from sin adversely affects the fool, they just don't care. They persist in their sin and compile evil upon evil. And because they will not repent and turn from their sin, they remain committed to a life that produces and results in evil. And the way this is phrased is really a mockery of the fool. Why do we call a person a fool? Because we see them being foolish and being persistent in such foolishness. The fact is, foolishness is the product of unbelief. The unbeliever doesn't understand spiritual truths. He is blind to spiritual truth. Trying to get a fool to receive biblical wisdom is like trying to pour coffee into a cup turned upside down. It doesn't get into the cup and ends up simply making a mess. Paul described that very thing in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." They're like a cup turned upside down. And the only real hope for a fool is repentance, to be turned right side up. If a fool will allow God to change their mind and heart, God turns that cup right side up and pours in his Spirit and truth. Again, that is what Paul described in his second divinely inspired letter to Timothy. He encourages Timothy as the servant of the Lord not to strive, but to be gentle, apt to teach, patient, and then says in 2 Timothy 2:25-26, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." There is no greater fool than the unsaved man or woman who is caught in the snare of the devil, taken captive at the will of the devil, and then remains unwilling to repent to be saved from that snare. But the unrepentant man is committed to his sin, which is why he refuses to repent and why our proverb says, "It is abomination to fools to depart from evil." In a commentary published in 1685, Matthew Poole made this comment, and I believe it sums this up nicely. Quote, "The desires of good men are set upon what is good, and they rejoice when they attain to it, and are grieved when they fall short of it. But the desires of the wicked are set upon sin, and it is a pleasure to them to commit it, and an abomination to them to be hindered from it." End quote. That sums it up perfectly. May any fool who might happen to be hearing this devotional turn to God in repentance and faith, trusting in the shed blood and death of Jesus Christ as payment for sin, believing on his bodily resurrection from the dead after 3 days as victory over sin, death, and hell for eternal salvation. But I hope and pray everyone listening to this has already done so.